Friends, I was so excited about Vic and Carolyn that I failed to see Reverend Dick Button in the end, just sitting on that side. If you would just stand up for a moment that we can just say welcome to you. And then, of course, we have Reverend Jane Wesson just sitting here. And I don't know what's happening in this church. I want to tell you that many years ago in the 70s, I was minister of the Dutch Reformed Church in Pretoria East. And at that time, we did not only have 9,000 members, but we had no less than 60 pastors who belonged to the church. Most of them were professors of the University of Pretoria and the University of South Africa. So I fled away from that situation. And right here, the first church I landed in, the first congregational Winter Park, and there was Rowlands College. And every Sunday, there were a bunch of ministers there. So I fled away from them, and guess what? But in all seriousness, thank you, saints of God, for the service that you've rendered to the kingdom of God. And we're just so pleased when you're here, when you pray with us, when you're part of the congregation. My colleague, Dr. Sponsler, is sitting in the back. He's faithfully watching over me for the past years, and I thank him for that. He's also our minister emeritus. So, for the rest of you, you're in good company, I can assure you. Once again, thank you to each and every one of our ordained people joining us in worship this morning. Our scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 21. And I want to tell you that I had the crisis last week, because you will immediately recognize the text, that when I had prepared for last Sunday, I noticed that I had two complete sermons in front of me. So guess what I did? I cut them in half. And therefore, I am repeating this morning the first scripture reading that we had last Sunday, and the second scripture reading is new and applicable to this morning. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 21. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and Him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what He is doing. We are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ Himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you say? In Christ. God put the wrong on Him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. Our second reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13, 19, and thereafter just two verses from same chapter 23 and 24. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven, completing God's law. Don't suppose for a minute that I've come to demolish the scriptures, either God's law or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. I'm going to put it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. Trivialize even the smallest item in God's law, and you will only have trivialized yourself. But take it seriously. Show the way for others, and you will find honor in the kingdom. Verse 23. This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God. Here ends our scripture reading. If the reading spoke to you and me, let us contemplate. Let us open our lives. Let us open our hearts as we continue thinking about these passages. Dear friends, the devastating World War II finally ended with the brief Surrender Day speech delivered by U.S. General Douglas MacArthur, Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces. On that solemn occasion, he said, "It is the hope of all humankind that from this solemn occasion a better world shall emerge out of the blood and carnage of the past. A world founded upon faith and understanding. A world dedicated to the dignity of man and the fulfillment of his most cherished wish for freedom, tolerance and justice." And then Douglas MacArthur concluded, "We have had our last chance. If we do not now devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at our door. The problem is theological and involves a spiritual improvement of human character. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh." And this is the part of the speech that gripped my heart, because it matches my experience. Changing the world in the name of God and our Savior Jesus Christ is a call directly from God. I think MacArthur, and I'm sure he had some chaplains and some of God's people advising him before this speech, because I believe that this was the correct diagnosis. The problem is theological, and it involves a spiritual improvement of human character. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh. As Christians, of course, we believe that MacArthur's greater and more equitable system only begins to take shape when men and women like us, here and across the world, get touched and changed by the powerful life, the powerful love, and the powerful example of Jesus Christ, who opened a window for us from where we can reach and touch the face of God. They talk about holy war, and holy war is happening many places. They have all sorts of words for it. Well, let us say, if there is to be a holy war, then our weapons of war must be of the Spirit and not of the flesh. May I say that again? If there is to be a holy war, then our weapons of war must be of the Spirit and not of the flesh. I've got a question that's been in my mind and my heart many years. Question that I'm sure that many of you are harboring deep inside yourselves. And that question for me is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus really? Who is the real Jesus? I can honestly say, as long as I can remember, I've been on a quest to find the truest possible answer to that question. And I know many of us in this church have this search in common. Many of us are at least spending part of our lives in search of meaning, meaningful answers to this searching question. Because we crossed paths with the man from Nazareth, and he touched us and he changed us, and he brought new questions in our lives and in our hearts. So we study, we seek, and we learn from one another. And I want to plead with you, if you have insights and answers that I still have to learn, please stop by and tell me. I must hear about it. Let us just imagine if we could turn the clock back. Imagine seeing Jesus in action. Firstly, he responds on a different, higher level, and he demonstrates the power of his words, finally with his very life. See him in action. He takes sides for who? For the losers, my friends. For the losers, when no one else seems to care. This Jesus disappears with a degraded tax collector Zacchaeus into a sinner's home in Jericho. And what happens? One simple meal with Jesus, and he emerges with a repentant son of Abraham, willing to repay all the wrong that he had ever done. Wow. Can you imagine having a meal with Jesus and be changed in no time at all, and a new life begins? He kneels down in the street between a fallen woman and her executioners. And he sets her free, not only from their stoning, but he sets her free from death, shame, and more sin. What a meeting that must have been. See him in action in the temple. He goes to pray, and he finds that the people who are supposed to be the people of God were doing things for their own profit and for their own joy and for their own enjoyment. And they've changed. They've changed the very meaning of gathering in God's name. And he refuses. He refuses with his whole being to desecrate the temple while others are profiting. And when he crosses path with a sinner, he teaches forgiveness. Friends, and we haven't even begun to understand the forgiveness that Jesus teaches. 70 times 7. For those who trespass against us. Now, I just want to warn you, these figures aren't real. Don't you make a tally now 70 times 7. because 7 in the Bible is symbolic for eternity. So 7 times 7 is eternity multiplied by eternity. That's the forgiveness that Jesus wants in our lives and in our hearts. That's how he teaches us how to deal with one another and with every enemy out there. Well, when you and I count, we do count. I've forgiven him once, not again. Maybe a second time, but for the third, off with his head. How different are we from the Savior we adore? He tells Peter in a crisis moment to put his sword back in its sheath and not to defend him with any earthly might. Wow. If you've only got your little sword, comes Jesus and tells you to put it away. Because he's got a more powerful weapon. He exchanges the sword with a weapon that cannot fail because it is born from the heart of God. When you and I draw our swords and descend to lower and lower levels of response, when we join the wolf packs and act like wolves, Jesus comes and he bids us to follow him, to rise to higher ground and to respond in different ways. Oh, what a God he introduces to us. When I go down, he lifts me up. When my responses are wrong, brings me to his breast and he says, "No, my child, not this way." He bids us to follow him. He shows us the higher ground and he teaches us to respond in different ways. And finally, when we come to the story of the prodigal son, he introduces us to a father. And we know this is a reference, a direct reference from Jesus to God. He introduces us to a God who loves even when hate seems to be the natural option. So Jesus changes the image that we get from the Hebrew Testament somewhat. Jesus introduces a God that will not kill to punish, but who will lift up to save. Who teaches us to love when hate seems to be the only other way out. And when the prodigal son comes back, even when severe punishment seems to be justified, you discover God has been waiting for his return. Is God still waiting for someone praying with us this morning? The gospel of Jesus Christ has never changed. And if you don't hear the call, let me warn you, he never stopped calling. It may be that you're not listening anymore. Jesus chooses to break the chain of hate and revenge and shocks people with his precious acts of love, hope and forgiveness. And friend, it's only when we truly begin to look at Jesus, at every story about Jesus, that awe and wonder really struck us. Then we begin to understand the power of his doing and we begin to adore the truth that we never saw or never realized before. seeing the world and a sinner through the eyes of Jesus changes everything. Seeing them through our eyes, oh, how merciless we can be, even while we are in need of forgiveness ourselves. That's a secret that Jesus taught. Where there is alienation and bitterness between people, between individuals, someone, said Jesus, has to take the first step. Someone has to do the unexpected. Someone has to break down this downward spiral of an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. Aren't we like that? You've did it once, I'll forgive you, but do it again and off with your head. Maybe a third time, but boy, now you're expecting too much. Jesus stands his ground in the New Testament. When it happens, no eye for an eye anymore. That belongs to the past. No tooth for a tooth. Someone has to be big enough to sacrifice our own pride and follow the example of a master who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. If you are holding out, hoping that the other party would call you first and say, okay, if he or she would only give me a call or an email or a letter, then I shall forgive. Friend, you're misreading God's will. Don't wait for that letter no more. Be number one. Even if it takes pain and shame, you will find that Jesus is walking by your side. And that is where the moment where the upward spiral of reconciliation and peace begins its upward move. If your life has been going down in the drain, you'll end in the mud. But when Jesus gets hold of you, you will find that the spiral will go up until you find and realize that you are in the presence of God. And don't think you've ever been out of God's presence, ever. It's only that we fail to listen. It's only that we fail to recognize. And it's only when we fail to sense God's presence that that vacant spot in our lives is filled with emotions, with hate that doesn't belong in the heart of a child of God. So if love bids you and me to take the first difficult steps to break through the chain of hate and thus break out of the paralysis brought about by the old way of responding to the world around us, do it. If God says you must change, then you must change. A troubled and deeply unhappy Pharisee secretly went to see Jesus in the middle of the night and said, Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all that God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it. Listen what Jesus said. You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom. So even today, even this morning, we can choose anew to follow the Prince of Peace as he beckons and guides us towards improving humankind. Because it's only when you and I are touched and changed, when we are changed as God's people in this church, that we will begin to have effect on the world around us, that we will begin to change the situation, that we can start an upward spiral so that even this church can be a beacon of light into the future of God. Bible says it so beautiful, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. We have no idea what Jesus really looked like. So if you're hunting for that one, there's no picture ever taken. Everyone you've ever seen in your life is just imagination from one or other artist. We don't know what he looks like. Or do we? Well, I'm speaking for myself, and I think for many of you, when I say that we have seen him take shape in the eyes, in the faces, in the hearts, in the words, in the deeds, and the unselfish love of godly people that crossed our way along the highways and byways of our earthly experience. I've never seen our Lord in person, but I have sensed his presence in the lives of many throughout my life. Often you come into the presence of a person, and after a while, you realize there's something different. There's something special in this person. This person has a pilot, has a compass. This person has an understanding of who God is, because this person is a friend of God. And then everything changes. Oh, I've never seen Jesus, but I've seen him sitting in this sanctuary time and time again. Sometimes with a dress, sometimes with a suit. But in this sanctuary, I've sensed the presence of God in the lives of God's people. I recognize him in the actions of Jesus, in the example and words of these men and women, noble, kind, forgiving and loving. I've seen images of Christ everywhere that I've been in my life. Oh yes, I think I can say I know what Jesus looked like. But I am so very sure what he doesn't look like. It was the year 1914, shortly after the tragic loss of his son, Rufus McDaniel. The poet wrote a beautiful hymn that's still sung in many parts of the world. And after his son died, he had to face some realities. And there came a day when he made peace with Jesus Christ. And soon afterwards, he wrote, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have lighted my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure since Jesus came into my heart." That's why the Bible says, that's why we read this morning, "I am not speaking for me." We are speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. God is already your friend. Oh, may a wanderer, may a man or a woman this very morning discover that something has happened and life will never be the same again. Reach out, Nicodemus, even if it's the middle of the night. Your Savior is waiting to have a discussion with you, with me. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we, your people, now unite before you in prayer. We bring before you our lives, so fragmented, so busy, so tired. We catch only glimpses of beauty and joy. We pray this morning, save us from hurry and worry. We are your church, shaping ministry, caring for the hurting, letting go of the way it used to be. Teach us the way of trust. Fill us with your authority to love and care as we tell the story of our faith. We place before you our country and the entire world, broken and fighting, yearning for justice and freedom, suffering war, animosity and greed. O God, teach us the path of peace, the ways of sharing, and give us the brighter vision. We yearn for your Spirit to excite, to motivate, and to change our lives. Move among us, rekindle our faith, and transform all that is hard and dead within us into new life and new commitment in Christ. We now pray that the mighty wind of your Spirit would lift all of us to higher visions, to greater dreams, and to a renewed strength to make those visions and dreams reality in your creation. Come, God, and in Jesus Christ we plead. Open us today to the new creation that you seek to bring about within and among us. Do so, hear our prayer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.